think I can handle it?
Very good then, Mr. McGinnis. Welcome to my world.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice.
And welcome to the Hall of Justice, episode number 14. I'm Seth Everett. Glad you could be with us here. The Fantastic Four is the last comic book movie of the summer. And when the trailers came out, I'm not going to lie, I dug it. I was into it. I was looking forward to it. And then I listened to a podcast hosted by Kevin Smith, the Fat Man on Batman. I've talked about it before, where he did this extensive, 6 hours worth of interviewing the director, Josh Trank. And I was very intrigued. Trank's story fascinates me. I want to see Chronicle now. I never did. There's a lot going on. And then the reviews came out. And if you remember, Fantastic Four was not being screened. So there were no reviews until 3 or 4 days before the release. And Fantastic Four came out and scored horribly. I mean, I read reviews that were scathing. Rotten Tomatoes, which has become the new standard, industry standard here, scored it only a 9%. It couldn't have been that bad. And I was brokenhearted. I was so disappointed. And I said to my friend, Scott Seidenberg from NBC Sports Radio, who I saw Ant-Man with and did a great job on our Ant-Man review, I thought we could do, I said to him, do you want to see a bad movie? Let's see Fantastic Four. Let's see for itself how bad this movie could be. And I will tell you now, this movie by no means is perfect, but it's not bad. And the title of this podcast is absolutely right. I actually liked Fantastic Four. Let's welcome in from NBC Sports Radio, my buddy, for his return appearance on Hall of Justice. Who would have thought I'd get a sportscaster to do two podcasts, both not about sports? Scott Seidenberg is with us now. Scott, welcome.
I'm framing the edition of these podcasts in my office, so I have it detailed that I actually appeared twice. I'm a multiple-time offender.
I know. We can do this, and you should take the artwork. I love the artwork of the Hall of Justice podcast. You can even block out my name. I don't need to see my name in it. You know me. I never care about that, but I love the logo. I love this podcast logo. The artwork is, it's better than the sports ones.
It's very well done. Congratulations.
But you heard the intro. You saw Fantastic Four. We were sitting in the movie theater planning on hating it. We went in thinking this movie is horrible. It scored lower on Rotten Tomatoes than Batman and Robin. That's the George Clooney Batman movie.
Yes. Look, Seth, we went in with negative expectations.
Negative zone.
I came out of this theater thinking, yes, this movie has a ton of flaws, and I have some major beef with the movie, but overall, I didn't think it was terrible. I enjoyed watching it. It wasn't a waste of time for me. I liked watching the movie. You and I both agreed we would absolutely see a director's cut to see what was maybe taken out of the movie, but it wasn't as bad as what people had initially wrote.
And I do think for the purpose of this podcast, because we saw it a week later and the fact that it's just been getting killed in reviews, I think we can go spoilers on this.
Yes, 100%.
When we did Ant-Man, it was before the actual release. We actually saw Ant-Man ahead of time. We have pull. Let's face it. We have such pull. If you downloaded this podcast, just you better subscribe because we have that kind of pull. No, but when we saw Ant-Man, it was a different scenario. And Ant-Man, which, by the way, didn't do as well as a lot of people had thought it would do, and was, a, like I said, a very enjoyable movie. Fantastic Four, its opening weekend made less than $30 million. It cost $120 million to make. It did pull in, I think, $60 million internationally. So it's up to about 90. The movie will make money. The movie will make money, and there's already talk about a sequel, but it's not the train wreck that you think it is.
No, there are some major flaws, though, Seth. You have to admit that.
But let's focus on the positives first. I thought the casting was brilliant. I thought the kid from Whiplash,
Miles Teller,
he was great. He was a great read. I thought Kate Mara was a fantastic Sue. I thought, you know, the scene in the library when they're sitting there and she's talking to him and not flirting with him, that's Kate Mara. She was great.
Yes, she was very good. And you're about to bring up
Johnny Storm. He was fine. He was.
That's
good.
What I was going to say. You were about to talk about Michael B. Jordan, and he is a tremendous actor. He has done great work. Remember Fruitvale Station? He was great in Friday Night Lights. The kid was even great back in The Wire when he was younger. And now he's going to be. And now he's going to be Apollo Creed's son in the new Creed movie coming out this fall, which I can't wait to see. Saw the trailer last night. He was, I thought, very good because he didn't play up the whole Johnny Storm attitude role. He just played his character.
Yeah, he was a hothead who built a car. I guess he built a car rather than bought a car because they had to give him some kind of technical wherewithal. Mm-hmm. It's not very plausible that these four guys would sneak into this converter and try to go to another dimension. There's a plausibility missing here. And the problem with this is I can't blame that on the movie. Basically, you know, to not give the whole movie away, these guys go to the negative zone. They go to this other dimension and they're exposed to this radiation and it gives them all their abilities. And I mean, that's the Fantastic Four. I'm not telling you anything about the movie. That's the story.
Yes,
and I have a theory that this is a story from the 60s. Mm-hmm. That just doesn't. It didn't grow.
This is what they were trying to do, Seth. They tried to tweak it, and that was one of my major points of contention. Was by trying to tweak it, they made them get their powers without Sue actually being there, just because she was at the wrong place at the wrong time in that room when they came back from the negative zone. She was affected by some leftover radiation. The whole premise of the Fantastic Four was that these scientists together wanted to go explore something, and that's when they got exposed and get their abilities. They completely
Let me stop you though, because they clearly said that they were taking this after the ultimate version, the ultimate Fantastic Four. It's a modern version. It's not space travel, because you wouldn't understand why these four yim-yams would go to outer space. That doesn't make any sense. So they created this teleporter, this thing to go to another dimension. That's how they get the cosmic rays. And the twist with the two twists that you're talking about, that you're saying, is Sue doesn't go with them, but she gets affected anyway. Yep. And she's not the natural brother of Johnny. She's adopted.
Yes. Yes. And also,
I had no problem with either one of those.
And also the fact that the reason why they go is because they're drunk. They just decide get drunk and then, hey, let's just go to the other dimension.
Right. They're drunk. But is that anything that any of the Marvel cinematic movies wouldn't do? Like they were mad because when they got their thing to work and they sent a monkey. They sent a monkey, and a monkey comes back, and the monkey's okay. And they say, okay, it's safe. And they want to go. They built this thing. They're the scientists. They want to go. And there's like, what are you talking about? They're going to send astronauts. What are you doing? And so they get drunk, and they decide to turn the thing on anyway. And by the way, the main antagonist in the movie, Victor Von Doom, who they stuck with the name. When your name is Victor Von Doom, you have there's a pretty good chance you are going to be bad.
Yes. the best moment of us sitting in the theater was there's a lot of forced dialogue in this movie. Let's just be honest. The script is very forced at times. And when they're standing in a room and Victor's being negative and Sue turns and goes, sheesh, Dr. Doom over here. And I take off my hat and I go, oh, no.
Well, that's like when Ben Grimm's a little kid. Ben Grimm's a little kid and his brother's beating him up and says it's clobbering time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, oh, my God. But answer me that question. Let's go back to the idea that they did the best with a story that is outdated. That it's a 1960s comic book that in the 60s was very popular because in the 60s you could pull off these four guys went to outer space and they got inhabited by cosmic rays and now they have powers. Yeah, and what they do is become champions. Right, and they became champions. And they became the world's greatest heroes. They were the Fantastic Four. They lived in a tower. They built a car, a flying car called the Fantastic Car. This is what the Fantastic Four was. There was a show in the 60s. There was a show in the 70s where they replaced the Human Torch with Herbie the Robot. Herbie. Then in the 90s, they came out with a show that was going to try to be modern. And the only thing that was modern, and Scott, I'm only saying this because you'd like this because you're infatuated with the Inhumans. There's a big like two-part animated episode in the 90s Fantastic Four series where Johnny falls in love with Crystal, who's an Inhuman.
Mm-hmm.
And Black Bolt comes, and they like there's this whole battle, and boring. Brian Austin Green from Beverly Hills 90210 played Johnny. Like, this is how I remember this. Like, this and Sue, this was when Sue first developed her force field powers. Because originally, she was just able to turn invisible, which in a fight wouldn't be helpful, but not great. But now she has this force field, so she can create these like bubbles and has like a telekinetic kind of power. And okay, and they transferred that to the movie. A lot of that was fine. We're ignoring the big pink elephant in the room. Which was the time jump.
Yes. The fact that they get their powers in this movie, which understand, okay, now they're being tested on and they realize that they've developed these abilities. But then the movie just skips to the whole 1 year later, and now they've all mastered their abilities. They have these magic suits that were developed to enable them to control their abilities, and Ben works for the government as the thing just clobbering everybody. We missed that entire story arc. Yeah. I wanted to see how they developed their abilities. I wanted to see them testing it out and learning to master their skills. I wanted to see them being contracted by the military to go do certain things around the world. We got to see none of that.
You're absolutely right. It's a major flaw because to their credit, when they are hospitalized, for lack of a better phrase, they're taken to Area 57. Or Area 51, wherever the hell that is. It's this missing place that nobody knows where it is. They take them there, and they're all, like, strapped in, and, you know, Johnny's on fire, and, you know, Ben has no idea what the hell's going on, and I have to tell you a Kevin Smith story about Ben, because they never answer one big question from Mallrats. But I told you, folks, there's going to be spoilers in this. And, you know, Sue is learning how to do her thing, and Reed escapes. Reed says, I have to get out of there, and disappears, which is very un-Reed Richards-like. I was actually impressed with. It was very un-Reed Richards-like. But
when that happened, I thought that was going to go somewhere. Like, we were going to see Reed on his own, trying to develop stuff and figure out a cure and learn to master his abilities. We didn't see anything.
Right. That's where it's missing. It just stops. I thought that what they didn't have to do was tell a story where they beat the bad guy. I think that, and to that end, the Dr. Doom fight was very underdeveloped. I mean, at the very end, it's not like this thing climaxed in any way. Like, turning point, there was an arc, but it was rushed. But
not only that, Seth, is the whole premise behind Dr. Doom's plan was like 3 minutes long. Okay, here's Dr. Doom. We brought him back. Now he wants to destroy the Earth and save the other world. And, okay, fight, done. It was like it happened so quick. I was like, yeah, was wait a minute. Here's an idea. He wants to go back. Let him. Problem solved.
Yeah, it just, you're right. It just seemed rushed. That's where it's disconnected. Now, to Josh Trank's defense, he said on this in interviews that they took three major fight scenes away. He didn't say what they were. He just said that Fox shortened the movie and took three major fight scenes away. Could it be, let it be, that those things plug in those holes, which led us to the off-air discussion of if they're ever releasing a director's cut, which is very 20th Century Fox. I mean, X-Men 1.5, you know, they've done that before. Road cut, which, by the way, I forgot that I had bought Days of Futures Past, and I bought the road cut. And I love it. I don't even regret buying it. I was like,
yeah,
wait a minute. I went to put it in my little bookcase, and I went, I have this movie already. Who cares? It's awesome. I loved Days of Future Past.
Can I tell you my one other major, really major beef with this movie? And the more I think about it, the more it actually frustrates me. It goes along the lines with us with the time jump thing, how they're not even just developing a story, but they're the Fantastic Four. They're a team. There was zero part of this movie where they were actually a team, the four of them together. I don't think Ben and Sue said one word to each other the entire movie. They were never a team.
You saw at the very end, the dynamics from the comics, are Johnny and Ben are constantly messing with each other.
Yes.
That was at the very end. That seemed a little forced. It seemed like they didn't want it to be, but see, that goes back to my theory, which is the Fantastic Four is a 1960s story. That if you do Fantastic Four things, it doesn't make sense as a movie. You know, Ben, first of all, where was his pants? And he had pants in every iteration of Fantastic Four. He had pants. And there's two things I want to tell you. Number one, they brought this up on the podcast I listened to with Josh Trank, where he said he wanted to address one of the great Mallrats questions of all times, which is Brody, Jason Lee's character Brody, says the thing. Is it all rock? Is his thing rock? And Reed Richards, could everything stretch? Could
everything stretch?
Both those questions don't get answered. The other thing I wanted to say is if you're looking to understand how difficult it is for the Fantastic Four, you should know a little bit about their history. The Fantastic Four, unlike the X-Men, were not purchased when Marvel was bankrupt. Fantastic Four was actually purchased by 20th Century Fox before that, and they were going to lose the license. And they were going to make this movie. If you go to YouTube, you can see this. And Scott, I would tell you, go to YouTube while we're watching this because you will crack up. There's a trailer for a Fantastic Four movie that never got made, but it needed to be shot and filmed so that they could buy themselves 3 or 4 years to figure out what they were going to do with the characters. And it's the Roger Corman 1994 Fantastic Four release. And it is so funny because the guy who plays Reed Richards is on stilts. And when he stretches, like, you see this other arm come out and they're like reaching with a stick. And it's literally like, did you ever see Arrested Development?
Yes.
Arrested Development, they did Fantastic Four, the musical.
I don't think I've seen that one.
That's on the new Netflix episodes.
I'm watching this trailer right now. It's hilarious. You see,
right? It's hysterical. The Roger Corman, the old Fantastic Four movie, which, by the way, if Fox wants to make a buck, put that on DVD, please. Just get that out there. That would be hysterical. It would be absolutely hysterical. I encourage everybody, go find that on YouTube. But the theory that I bring again, and this is something that I really do think is the crux, is that it's too hard to make the Fantastic Four because the Fantastic Four is a character that's just built for the 60s. And that nowadays, the Fantastic Four should not exist.
Let the Fantastic Four be
this ancient story about these old-time heroes back in a glorious era. Like, if you want to timeline this, put the Fantastic Four in the 60s and don't touch them. And just
The problem is that what you have now is with the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you are developing much cooler characters. You're giving them cooler backstories. They're becoming mainstream, part of the mainstream media, these superheroes now, to the point where you don't need to add characters like the Fantastic Four. But what you're seeing is that people are starting to clamor. People want the need to merge everything together. They want the Fantastic Four and the X-Men to join the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They want crossover movies. They want more characters involved because, hey, if we have these characters, why not introduce them? It'll be cool. But when is it too much?
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I just, you know, I didn't think Marvel could get anywhere with Iron Man. I was desperately wrong. I stand on record. Did I know you then? No, I this was before I met you. My wife in the mid-2000s worked for Marvel. It was when they were coming out of bankruptcy and they hadn't been purchased by Disney. And the rumor was that Marvel was going to finance their own movie and it was going to be Iron Man. And I said, oh my God, that's horrible. I said, Iron Man, he's boring. Like, boring as boring gets. Like, Tony Stark, he's in an armored suit, which, by the way, in the 60s used to have muscles. It was like the weirdest costume. He would have muscles. And if you look at the old Iron Man cartoons, he sounded like he was in a box because that's how they did his voice, because he was behind this armor. And boring, just boring and boring and boring. The only time Tony Stark was ever interesting was when he was an alcoholic, when he was drunk. And he had to, you know, get off the bottle to be a superhero. And that to me was the only thing that would be interesting. Well, Marvel proved us all wrong. They made a great movie. Iron Man was a huge hit. And then that birthed the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And now they're so freaking arrogant, they'll make a movie about Ant-Man. And
you know what would have been better off? And I'm just like thinking here and just trying to spitball things. You know, if they would have done the Fantastic Four, but instead of modernizing it, did it as if it was back in the 1960s when it came out, you could have sold me on it. And not only that, you could have opened up a whole world of things to the possibility of them interacting with the MCU, like Howard Stark, Peggy Carter. Maybe all these different possibilities opened
that's
if you would have placed them back then.
Well, that's the question. And that was where I was kind of leading to is, you know, a lot of people have said Fox has now struck out, three strikes out, that the first two Fantastic Four movies were less than. They weren't horrible. They were not good. The first Fantastic Four movie where they get, that's the origin story. And then the second one where they meet the Silver Surfer, which could have been awesome. I mean, the Silver Surfer is such a cool character. And Jessica Alba was Sue and Chris Evans was Johnny in those movies. So now if you take those three, they were three failures. Give the Fantastic Four back to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Let Marvel handle the Fantastic Four. I don't think they could do much better.
Well, what they could do,
I genuinely don't think.
If Marvel wanted to take what Fox has done now and make it better, they would have to do something that involved them going to space and interacting with the Guardians of the Galaxy. Done. You saved it.
But you're not going to make them astronauts?
You'd have to do something.
Why would these random people, why would these scientists go to space? that's what I'm saying. Like in the 60s, that's what happened. The Fantastic Four went to space. Now, I'll see that and raise you. And I would say that let the Fantastic Four movie stand. Let this movie stand. I want to see where this is going. I would love it to be incorporated. I do. I want to see where this goes. I want to see where this goes. And what I don't want is I don't want Ben to revert back to Ben. That to me, that's always a story. They always do that in the comics. They always do that in the cartoons. They always say, we found a way. Ben, your dream comes true. You get to be normal again. And then he gets to be normal and he's boring. And then he needs to save Johnny or Sue or something. So then he says, oh, go reverse it. And then he goes back to being the thing and it's clobbering time. And that, you know, that's the thing. The other thing about the thing, is that there's a lot of scenes where he's wearing a fedora and an overcoat. Like if you look at comic images of the thing, like they didn't do any of that. They just they didn't do any of that stuff. I thought from CGI standpoint, he actually was pretty good. Supposedly the actor, Jamie Bell, is that his name?
Jamie Bell,
yeah. Jamie Bell. He was the stop motion guy. So it was him. You know what I mean? It's his animation. I thought that was pretty good. That didn't suck. You know, he didn't smile. He wasn't goofy. He was fine. He was pretty good. And I would love to see CGI Thing face off against CGI Hulk, because that's another big, you know, Marvel thing. Yeah.
So you liked him better than the Michael Chiklis version?
Yes, because Michael Chiklis wore a suit.
Yeah.
Like we're past the rubber suits. Did you see that trailer? Did you see the guy in the guy in the trailer funny. There with his face?
Yes, that was very funny.
Crinkled. Like I just think that in this day and age that's CGI. Like, okay, yeah. CGI.
Fair enough. Well, fair enough.
All right. So I want to see a sequel. I think I wouldn't if I'm rating it on a 0 to 100 or like a 1 through 10, I'd give it a 6 or a 7. Better than Iron Man 3.
I would go 5 or 6. That's what I would do.
I'm trying to think of movies that it's better than. It's better than Man of Steel. It's better than Green Lantern.
It's better than the first Hulk, which never happened.
Better than the first Hulk movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's better than the first two Fantastic Four movies.
Yeah, although I liked the character banter in those movies better.
Yeah.
Because they actually had Johnny Storm and Ben going back and forth. They actually had a love triangle. Yep. Between Sue and Victor and Reed.
Victor.
They didn't have any of that here.
Which, by the way, we never... Victor Von Doom, Dr. Doom was pretty good.
I thought that was cool. In this one?
I didn't like that he killed the guy, you know, my guy from House of Cards. The dad, Franklin. Mm-hmm. But I thought that was pretty good. I had no problem with that. They didn't make Reed a fuddy-duddy. Because that's what Reed is. Reed's a fuddy-duddy. They didn't make
Were you okay with them essentially just making them, what, 18, 19 years old?
Yeah, that was the other thing. Like, how old is Victor? Victor's in his mid-20s, right? Like, you get it that Reed is the prodigy. He goes to the science fair and he gets discovered.
And he's in 12th grade because he's got to be in 12th
grade.
Okay,
fine. So he's 18. He's 18. How old is Sue?
You would assume she's around there. No, because she's in the school also. She's in the library.
No, but she's been there for a while, and she has a history with Victor. I think she's in her mid-20s. I think Johnny's younger.
The other thing was we kept hearing about, you know, they told us that Ben and Reed were friends. We saw them at the science fair earlier, and we saw them as kids working in the garage. But we never really saw them have a friendship. That's it. They just, okay. Yeah. This has been, they kept telling us about it.
Yeah, they kept talking about it, and they said, you have to be with me. You have to come. We're going to the negative zone. You got to come.
Imagine getting that phone call in the middle of the night. Here's your scientist friend calls you up and says, hey, I'm going to another dimension, and I'm not going without you. Like,
I'm not going without you.
All right, give me a minute. I'll be there.
Yeah, no problem. Sure, no problem. Let's go. And he goes in there. He meets them for 5 seconds. See, that's the other thing. There's no dynamic pre-accident between Ben and Johnny. Like, I think if Josh Trank were here,
and even after the accident, we had no team up. There was no team building. I don't think Ben and Sue ever said one word to each other in this movie. And they're supposed to be a team, the Fantastic Four.
Because they know, but they don't know each other. Because Ben comes in, he meets Victor, Johnny, and he knows Reed, and then they go, and Sue doesn't know about it.
And then they come back, Ben goes and works with the government.
Sue doesn't know about it. Yeah, all right, there's more flaws. It's a 6.
Yeah, 5-6.
It's a 6. Yeah, it's fine.
But I didn't hate it. I didn't walk out of there going, oh, that sucked. I didn't walk out of there saying that.
I wanted more. I want the director's cut. I will purchase the Blu-ray. I'm not going to lie. I will purchase the Blu-ray, and I will watch this again.
Sure. I'll give it a go. Right, if there's a sequel, I'm going to be interested.
Are we going to do Star Wars?
Well, I can't.
I kind of have to get a Star. You're not going to be offended, but I have to get a Star Wars guy to do Star Wars.
You talk to my brother.
We've had Star Wars people on the podcast before.
Yeah.
We
my brother knows more about Star Wars than anybody.
By the way, say hello to the Con Radio audience. Wizard World has launched the Con Radio Podcast Network, and Hall of Justice has been selected as one of the podcasts on there. If you go to wizardworld.com or conradio.com, you can find the podcast in addition to all the other places.
So, very cool. Very cool.
You are a con. The first podcast, the first time we did it, I don't think they put our back episodes. I think they only had like the last three, I think. I don't know. I'll tell you this. You had more fun talking about Fantastic Four than you did talking about Geno Smith all morning.
Oh, 100%. I think I had more to say about Fantastic Four than I did about Geno Smith. And unlike the Geno Smith thing, where I think the Jets will be okay, you know, I'm wondering what Fox is going to do now with this franchise.
Yeah, right? I'm curious. I am curious. You know, one of the things that you and I talked about yesterday, we saw the trailer for it. I'm not 100% behind this Deadpool. I'm not going to mind it. It's not going to bother mm-hmm. me, but I don't think this is the trend. I don't think it's a trend of what the future of movies, like there's not going to be a lot of rated R superhero movies.
Yeah.
You can't license them. You can't make a Happy Meal out of them. It doesn't make any sense.
No, but it's a cooler kick-ass. That's what this is. Because that's what it's going to be. Right. I feel like there'll be a lot of blood. There'll be cursing, and it's Ryan Reynolds, and everyone loves him.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, Fantastic Four. You give it a 5 and a 6. Which make a decision, 5 or 6?
I'm going to go with a 6.
You're going 6. We both gave it a 6. We actually liked 6. Fantastic Four. Scotty, my boy, thank you as always for hanging on the podcast.
Thank you, Seth. Enjoyed it.
That is Scott Seidenberg from NBC Sports Radio. You can follow him on Twitter at Scott's On Air. It's exactly as it said. I'm not spelling it. Scott's On Air. You can find him on Twitter. That'll do it for this edition of The Hall of Justice. Fantastic Four. Go see it. Give them your money. Help them make their money back so they make a Fantastic Four 2. I'm Seth Everett. Got plenty of surprises next coming to the Hall of Justice. We'll talk soon.